Beorn looms large in The Hobbit, playing a crucial role in the Battle of the Five Armies. But who is he? Are there more Beornings, or is he just one of a kind? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background, history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, this is the channel for you. Welcome. Beorn is unforgettable in The Hobbit, the giant of a man who can turn into an even more giant of a bear. His house makes for a fun stop between the Misty Mountains and Mirkwood, and when we get to the climactic Battle of the Five Armies, his is the most crucial intervention. But he always seems like a bit of an oddity, a one-off. Is he truly the last of his kind? Does he lead a completely solitary life? The answer appears to be yes. Gandalf himself seems a little unsure about Beorn's background, confirming that he isn't under some kind of spell or curse and that his shapeshifting is a natural part of who he is. But beyond that, he knows only that some say that he is a bear descended from the great and ancient bears of the mountains that lived there before the giants came. Others say that he is a man descended from the first men who lived before Smaug or the other dragons came into this part of the world, and before the goblins came into the hills out of the north. I cannot say, though I fancy the last is the true tale. He is not the sort of person to ask questions of. Indeed, he is not the sort of person to bother with personal questions. He is taciturn, grumpy, and quick to anger. He lives alone with his horses and colonies of massive bees, being generally self-sufficient and rarely coming into contact with anyone else. The overall impression is of him being the master of his own domain and not needing or wanting anyone else. He doesn't want to let anyone in, literally or figuratively. He is a loner, though clearly well-respected and generally avoided. Gandalf had never visited him before in The Hobbit, though Beorn had come into contact with Radagast, another loner who had an affinity with animals, and considered him not a bad fellow, as wizards go, implying he must have been in contact with at least one other wizard at some point. Saruman, perhaps? Not a major point, but an intriguing one. Anyway, his standing is shown by Gandalf's reply to Bilbo asking why that part of the world was called the Carrock. He calls it the Carrock because Carrock is his word for it. He calls things like that Carrocks, and this one is the Carrock, because it is the only one near his home, and he knows it well. So people generally called the area what Beorn did, because, well, he is him. And lest we forget, there is more to Beorn than just the turning into a bear thing. He keeps horses and talks to them. It is they that Gandalf and Bilbo first encounter when coming onto Beorn's land. They run off and alert Beorn, and seemingly convey more than just, there's someone at the gate. Then there are the giant bees, bigger than your thumb, apparently, and an undoubted aura about him. It's clear that this part of the world is his domain, and everyone knows it. Goblins are kept out, strangers challenged, and the whole area is called by everyone what he refers to it as. And he doesn't welcome strangers easily. The dwarves do eventually gain his trust, though, and he helps them on to Mirkwood, loaning them horses and giving them lengthy advice on how to pass through that terrible forest. They don't follow his advice, though they probably should have. His legend was at its greatest later in the Battle of the Five Armies. With the arrival of the goblins and wolves, things had turned bad for the elves, humans, and particularly the dwarves, who were making a stand, surrounded. Thorin, Fili, and Kili had fallen in combat. Then came Beorn. In that last hour, Beorn himself had appeared. No one knew how or from where. He came alone and in bear's shape, and he seemed to have grown almost to giant size in his wrath. The roar of his voice was like drums and guns, and he tossed wolves and goblins from his path like straws and feathers. He fell upon their rear and broke like a clap of thunder through the ring. The dwarves were making a stand still about their lords upon a low, rounded hill. Then Beorn stooped and lifted Thorin, who had fallen, pierced with spears, and bore him out of the fray. Swiftly he returned, and his wrath was redoubled so that nothing could withstand him, and no weapon seemed to bite upon him. He scattered the bodyguard and pulled down Bolg himself and crushed him. Then dismay fell on the goblins, and they fled in all directions. It's no exaggeration to say that Beorn's arrival was the crucial moment in that battle. It was he who saved the dwarves, killed the goblin leader, and routed the enemy. if he hadn't turned up when he did, well, the goblins would probably have taken Erebor, and probably all of the dwarves would have died. But why did he turn up? It's one thing to help the dwarves along their way, but another entirely to travel all that way to fight with them. It's a mystery that Tolkien reveals to us slowly, most notably by how Beorn changed over the course of the story. The events of The Hobbit and The Quest of Erebor were life-changing for many, but few changed as much as Beorn. When we first encountered him in the story, he was essentially a recluse, locked in the past. But after the battle, he laughed and sang in a loud voice on the journey back. He invited Gandalf and Bilbo to stay at his house for Yuletide, and we're told it was warm and merry. And Beorn invited others from far and wide to join him for feasting. After that, we're told that Beorn indeed became a great chief afterwards in those regions, and ruled a wide land between the mountains and the wood. And it is said that for many generations the men of his line had the power of taking a bear's shape, and some were grim men and bad, but most were in heart like Beorn, if less in size and strength. In order for that to be the case, he had to not only have given up his solipsistic tendencies for good, but also met someone and had children. And the race that followed him played their part too in The Lord of the Rings. Perhaps not as decisive or dramatic a role as Beorn himself played in the Battle of the Five Armies, but they did have several important roles. Before the main story starts, they helped Aragorn cross the River Anduin when he had captured Gollum and was taking him to the elves of Northern Mirkwood. Before that, they kept the road between Dale and Rivendell clear of orcs and wolves, greatly aiding travel and communication for the free peoples of Middle-earth. Then, during the War of the Ring itself, they fought the orcs under Grimbjorn, the son of the Beorn we know. Gimli also notes that as a people they were the best bakers he knew, praising their honey cakes in particular, an important contribution to civilization, no doubt. Basically, from Beorn being a single loner, we have a people who proactively help out others in the wider world. And the turning point for that sea change was the events of The Hobbit. And the main clue for what that was all about, from his perspective, comes, I think, from something Gandalf saw and mentions in passing to Bilbo. "I once saw him sitting all alone on the top of the Carrack at night, watching the moon sinking towards the misty mountains, and I heard him growl in the tongue of bears, 'The day will come when they will perish, and I shall go back.' That is why I believe he once came from the mountains himself. So there is a tragic backstory here. Beorn is an exile. The they who will perish are presumably the goblins, who are, again presumably, responsible for Beorn being forced to leave his homeland of the mountains. At least that's what Gandalf concludes. This enforced exile is eating away at Beorn. He needs his revenge on the goblins. Suddenly, everything becomes clear. The Beorn we meet in The Hobbit is mourning his homeland and people, bitter, needing revenge and thinking no one would understand and that he has to do it all on his own. He has isolated himself. I think many people who have been through great loss and pain will understand this. Everyone deals with it in their own way, but Beorn just wants to be alone and simmer in his anger and pain. Then the dwarves and Gandalf and Bilbo turn up and tell him that they are on the way to reclaim their homeland that they had been thrown out of by a great evil. That strikes a chord with Beorn. He knows what it is like to lose a homeland. Then they say that on the way they have killed the great goblin, the leader of the Misty Mountain goblins, and being a distrustful sort, he goes to check, and yes, they have. That's the moment things change for Beorn. When he returns from his little fact-checking mission, he is suddenly jolly, laughing and joking with them. He feeds them, chats with them, gives them aid, provisions and assistance for their journey onward, and some detailed guidance and advice for their journey through Mirkwood, which they obviously ignore. Perhaps we can join a few dots up here. The thing that first seemed to spark a change in Beorn, and it was a massive change, was confirmation that the party had killed the great goblin. It was the goblins that had forced Beorn from his homeland and the Misty Mountains, and the leader of the goblins was the Great Goblin. Gandalf overheard Beorn ranting about how one day they would perish. The language here is important. This isn't Beorn necessarily wanting personally to kill the Great Goblin, but he does want him dead, and the dwarves and Gandalf have done it. The burden that had been weighing him down all this time had been lifted. The goblin most to blame for his people's destruction and his own exile was dead. From that moment on, Bjorn could stop focusing on the past and could start thinking about building the future. And the people who had made that happen were on a mission he could empathise with hugely, reclaiming their homeland. Of course he helped them, both there and at the Battle of the Five Armies. Could Bjorn stand by and let the goblins who had robbed him of his own homeland take the dwarves home from them at the death? No, of course not. We can feel the freedom Bjorn felt with every laugh and song from then on. He was the last of his line, yes, a legend in his own lifetime, but this last of his own line became the first of a new line, the Bjornings. And that's why Bjorn is a legend, not just for his undoubted strength and martial ability, or even his remarkable skin-changing ability or ability to talk to animals. What makes Bjorn truly stand out is his fortitude in the heat of great loss and sadness to turn his life around. He managed to move on, change how he lived his life and treated people kindly rather than with instant suspicion. The people, his family, that grew up from this start wouldn't be reclusive or angry, but lovers of great food and feasts, keen to help others and stand up for the free peoples. Bjorn may well have been the last of his kind, but he was also the first of a new race, the Bjornings. And the Bjornings were great because of the example set by their patriarch, Bjorn, the legend of Middle-earth. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link to my playlist appearing now on the left of your screen. Or to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.